welcome to episode 259 of the Customer Support Leaders podcast. I'm Charlotte Ward. Today, welcome Neil Travis to talk about managing change. I'd like to welcome to the podcast today, Neil Travis. Neil, it is lovely to have you join me, a fellow podcaster, no less. Would you like to introduce yourself for everyone listening?
Sure, of course. As you mentioned, fellow podcaster, it's a bit of the side gig on the day to day. I started in support officially, I would say, in the very professional version of support about 5 years ago, early 2019. Mm-hmm. Before that, I come from retail, telecom, sales training and things. So very different background. Since then, since 2019, I joined AIHR, Academy to Innovate HR, which is my current company, when they were 8 people. And now we're growing to 85 plus, which is a lot. I'm excited about what we're talking about today, leading amid change, because it goes quite rapidly when you're growing that quickly.
It really does. It really does. Wow, that's awesome. So the podcast is growth support, isn't it? That's the thing that you do outside of your day job, which is a term that we've bandied around in the last couple of little chats we've had.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Indeed.
And how long's that been running?
I started in September 2023, so just like a little under a year ago. And the idea behind it is that I was having so many conversations within the community and the support colleagues and friends across the world that I figured is probably very useful for other people to also know as well. So I just started recording those conversations and here we are.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I love the podcast and welcome to mine. I started it for many of the same reasons, I think. So lovely to have you here. So we're talking about, as you mentioned there, leading amid change, and you've been through a lot of change, as you just said, particularly growth needs change, doesn't it? It's a requisite component of growth, I think, and rapid change. And probably I would say kind of multiple changes of direction and some going forward, doubling back, left and right. Like there's a lot to deal with, isn't there? So given that that's an environment that you're leading in, it's certainly an environment I'm leading in as well. Where do we begin in ourselves? The thing I don't feel like I'm qualified to talk about it, but I guess what is the thing that qualifies us as two leaders in these changing environments, these day jobs that are rapidly changing, rapidly growing, that qualifies us to sit here and talk about this?
Definitely. I think going through it in the first place, and one of the things that really hits me is like there are certain lessons that you won't learn until you hit them.
Oh, that's so true.
And being able to go through those changes and through a lot of these experiences, you learn a lot of lessons from them. And I think bringing those learnings into the next time that you need to handle it really kind of takes you into, we've gone through this, you know how to handle the next one. And each time you go through it, you get better and better. I think maybe the next change, I'll learn something new as well. So
Yeah. I think that's a fair point. I think even if you're adept at handling change and have been through it 100 times, whatever is the change of the day, you will always learn something the next time you go through it. And so I think that there is a bit of me that thinks you can listen to all of the podcasts about change that you want, but you're absolutely right. Until you live it, you don't have, and like you're not equipped to deal with everything, and every change is new, as you said, by its very nature. So you learn something. So what are the biggest qualities or approaches that you have found have helped you navigate a changing environment as a leader? What is it that you can look back and say, I did that well, and the last 10 times I've done this, that's the thing that's got us through?
I think for me, understanding what your team needs is and why the change is important. Having those two things in place are very important, because one, if you know why the change is important and why it's happening, you can better communicate and allow for that kind of streamline of information to go to the teams and make it valuable for them. But at the same time, every single person on your team or your team as a collective operates differently. And one of the exercises that I've done in the past that I found has really helped me, or at least in the longer term of things, is not necessarily an active exercise you do all the time, but being able to understand, like, does my team need very explicit, clear, and rigid information? They need to know exactly the definite things that are happening. Are they adaptable and can move with change very quickly? And understanding where your team is on that spectrum helps you to communicate with them for what they need.
It's a really interesting point, actually, that I think that a team can be in itself quite adaptable and ready to change, or a team can be a team that is, as you said, kind of responds better to structure and guidelines and everything else. But I would also say that I think a team doesn't sit in either of those spaces the whole time. And I think actually there are certain changes where your team might respond better, even if they're generally one or the other, they might respond better depending on the nature of the change, because there are certain things, particularly in a fast moving environment, where fluidity is required, right? And I think also there are other types of changing, however fast moving the environment, that are more structured, more rigid. They have to be, maybe there are, you know, there's trust and safety or legal or commercial things that, like, guardrails you have to operate in, and you can't just kind of go in there and get stuck in, right? So yeah, I think you have to recognize which what side in change. Both cases. Yeah,
definitely. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the first org structure that we went through. We kind of had a general plan and path of this is the way that our organization is going to be structured. One of our departments, we kind of invalidated a little bit a year into its existence. And so we were going to separate those teams. As part of that change, the leader of one department left the organization. The leader of the org that was getting dispersed left the organization. I came in from a peer to a leader, and at the same time we hadn't hired another one, so there was all of these huge moving parts that are, like, it's an org restructure, so it's very large, or a lot of people that need to be informed, and a lot of change management that needs to happen. And there I was trying to navigate, hey, like, I'm a peer, I'm coming in as a leader, I'm not going to be your leader in the future, but I'm here to help you through this uncertainty. How can I help you do that? Obviously, not a lot of that decision-making is going to come to me. But when it comes to that fluidity of information, how can I support you making the most of it and being able to help you there? Versus now, if I think about doing an org restructure, this is a very different standardized process. These are the documentation. This is when change needs to happen. This is when communication needs to happen. It's a very different process than it was before. And now when we go through that, it's a much more structured environment for the teams than it was then. So they're not sitting in the same place that they were before.
As you said right at the top, you know, you learn something every time, and maybe the fluidity was necessary the first time, but now you have something that's more repeatable, right? You said something interesting there, which is about, you know, a team being kind of invalidated. And I think that whether we're talking in the sense you were there, that, like, structural invalidation, i.e. that function no longer exists or is being absorbed or, you know, split, whatever's happening to it, there is that structural, but I think that's also a danger with almost any change of personal invalidation, isn't there?
Definitely. I think especially if, as a organizational level, you're making a strategic move to change maybe the mindset around what your product looks like. For example, if you have one team that's really focused on, you know, building content and all of this, and that's what the core of your product is, and then you have other USPs that are offered on the side that have generally in the past been separate, and you're reframing that to be, hey, our product is not just this one thing, it's all of these things, you're trying to bring that in. It's a big change, because then people think, like, okay, so is my, what I own not important to the organization? Is it, like, is it changing in terms of strategy or my responsibilities? No, it's not, but it can lead to people feeling like they're maybe pushed off to the side because they're not a part of the decision-making process, because you know, maybe they're a frontline person and this is coming from a more strategic level. I think that's why the framework needs to be, you need to understand the why and importance, not only for the change, but also what it means to that person in your team. That we can also relay, hey, this is what it means for you. This is the information that we know. This is what I can tell you now. But I think as a leader, you also need to keep in mind, not knowing is also an answer. I think that people sometimes think that they need to know everything. Hey, I want to give you answers. I'm going to give you this answer. But no answer or telling them, I don't know yet, we're going to find that out together, gets you in that same boat. And forcing that answer for no reason doesn't necessarily help anybody in that situation, rather than saying, hey, I don't know, and that's okay, we're going to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. And I think actually that, you know, on a personal level, I think particularly when strategies change or teams move around in an organization, it can actually create a disconnect, can't it, between the work that somebody's doing, say, on the front line, as you said, and their contribution, the value of their contribution, which you alluded to as well. But actually, like, being able to draw a direct line is something that is our responsibility eventually. And to your point, it's not evident all the time, even as someone who's part of the decision-making process with that change. It's not always evident how you're going to redraw those lines, which I think is kind of a part of what you were saying. You don't know everything. And I think certainly in the more fluid changes, it's okay not to know everything. And particularly when they're big. I think for me, a fairly recent example was my support in my day job moved from a customer office into engineering. That's a significant change of focus for the team, for the kind of things that we'd be more naturally joined up with, and therefore the effect and our place in the organization. That doesn't mean we don't have that. It just means that we've redrawn it. And I would say we've redrawn it very successfully, and that the team are, we barely broke stride, you know, because it was okay to say, we'll figure it out. Actually, this isn't doors closing, it's doors opening, you know? And I think that that's a really healthy way to look at it, that we don't know what's behind all of those doors at the start, but they will open as part of this change.
Yeah. And if you look at it, not from, like, we're talking about org restructures and all of these kinds of things, but even on much smaller changes, we recently rolled out KCS and adopted the KCS methodology for knowledge management. And there we went from, hey, we're doing tickets this way, to completely restructuring the way that we're doing tickets. And one of the big questions that came up was, okay, we have now, what's going to happen with all of our metrics? Like, obviously they're going to be completely different. And I said, what are the new metrics supposed to look like? And I was like, we're going to find out. It's going to be a big change. It is a completely new mindset of the way that we go about doing our work. So we're going to find out what that new norm looks like for us, and we'll see. And then we'll go from there. I don't know. But at the same time, we're not going to break stride. We're going to continue. We're going to address all the questions as they come up, and we'll go through it together. I think that's the biggest thing. If you get your team and you understand the importance of it, and you're in it together through that change, then it's much easier to go through those kinds of changes, no matter how big or small, versus somebody not understanding. And from a leadership perspective, you have a lot more information. You have a lot more of the reasoning behind it, but they don't always have that full picture.
And you can't always give it, right? I think actually that's really important to recognize. And I think that's something that, until you step into leadership, you really aren't aware of, actually. Even as a super transparent leader, you can't say everything.
I recently went through a coaching exercise. And one of the things that came up in the coaching exercise was, are you communicating it because you're excited about it? Or are you communicating it because it's going to bring value to the current situation and it has meaning in that process? Because I'm a very transparent person. I love to communicate things as they happen. But at the same time, if you communicate too early some things, and people are like, oh, I was expecting this, but that's not actually happening anymore. And you really have to pull yourself back. And I think that's an important question to answer, especially when you're going through change. am I communicating this now because it has importance to the process, or am I communicating it just to communicate it? And defining those lines, I think, is really, really important.
Yeah, that's something I'm definitely guilty of. I think who wouldn't be, like, particularly when it's good change, like, I got, you know, this is amazing. Just wait. but you do, you have to know. I think some of that depends who you're talking to. Like, there are certainly going to be, I think, you know, times when you want to tell everyone everything and should, but times when that kind of ratcheted approach of what you can and when you can and who you can say certain things to, as a point of, like you say, adding value, enabling people to carry, particularly when you're a leader that has team leads reporting into you, helping your team leads to prepare even before the folks on the front line. I think you learn that over time, the more you do this, right? This is important. This is significant for my team leads, but not right now for the front line. We need to have a conversation about this, but it doesn't mean it flows all the way. Or it's all the same message is given all the way.
Yeah. And if you think about it in terms of a larger teams and structure, like we're talking about org restructure, this kind of change, if someone from another department that you might be taking on soon doesn't know yet, but you're communicating with another leader very transparently, what happens when that person from the other department hears it from them and not directly from you? That narrative changes, the context changes, more questions and confusion might arise if they're hearing it. Hey, I heard by the grapevine, like, this is happening, but it hasn't been communicated with me yet and the change is about me. So I think that's where that really comes into play of understanding who and why and when it comes to communication.
I think transparency, and just this is slightly getting away from the org changes, because I feel like we've sat in, because they're the big ones, aren't they? They're the stressful ones, the meaty just ones.
The big changes, yeah.
The big changes. You know, inside a team, you mentioned KCS, for instance, doesn't have a great deal of impact, say, on your product team or your engineering teams or your sales team. Inside a team, when you have more agency over the changes you're making, the things you're driving towards, the tools, the processes, you know, how you mix things up and how frequently you mix things up and why you mix things up, there are still, I think, there are obviously individual challenges. People come to change at different rates and with different, let's say, different degrees of open arms. how do you manage? Because I buy into the we don't know yet and it's okay kind of philosophy too. But that doesn't work for everyone, does it? There are people who will definitely say, there are people who will say, either, well, if you don't know, I'm not doing it. Or if you don't know, then I'm scared. Or if you don't know, I'm worried, or even I'm stressed, or I'm angry. There's a range of responses, you know, or I'm defiant even. I'm going to go and tell someone else that you don't know what you're doing. Like, you can get extremes, can't you? Even if it's inside your own wheelhouse. So how do you deal with the extremes?
Well, one, I think it comes from the very, very core of culture. When you're building your teams in the first place and you're building that culture, I think it's important to bring that into every conversation that you have. I mean, every day that you're with your team, you're building that level of trust that as a team member, I hope that you have that trust in me as a leader that we've built over the weeks, years, time that we've worked together, where you know that we will navigate this together. Secondly, I mean, even if you're having a group conversation with the entire team about some changes that are coming up, maybe some of your team won't voice that in a group setting. And I think it's important to check in with your team individually and say, hey, we talked about this as a group. I just want to check in with you individually and see, you know, what are you thinking about it? Is there any things that I can address specifically for you that you might have any concerns about or anything? So I think that's really where coaching comes into play. Trust, transparency. And that coaching aspect of, you know, what is it that's bothering you? Is that something we can address now? Is it something that maybe you just don't have enough information that you need to make that change in your mind? Or is it something that now you have too much information that you're overwhelmed about? Maybe I can help you sort through that. Maybe we can break it down a little bit. So think really coaching, checking in with your team in and outside of group settings and building trust, super important.
It really is. It really is. I think I would add one more, and that is that particularly in a fast moving environment where some of these changes are very experimental, frankly, I think it's okay to say this might not be forever either. You know, I think this change, it may officially be an experiment, or it's the first step onto something better, but we have to negotiate this thing in order to know. And I know that over the course of my career, I could probably cite tens of examples where we've decided something and then we've either gone backwards or we've pushed through it, you know, or we've gone sideways, because doing the first step of a change informs you, doesn't it? And I think so long as you're kind of willing to say, look, this is what we're doing now. We're going to use this as a point of information to decide what our next step might be, whatever direction that is. I think that's something I think particularly, I mean, rolling out KCS is quite a big thing to do. That's a huge working practice change. But there are other things where it's like, we'll try this tool for 6 months or something, you know, and it's okay. Yeah. Like if it's not as good as the last one, we'll go back. Or if it's, you know, we may go on and find something else. And there are, I think it's important to build a culture where that is not seen as wasted effort, actually.
Yeah, I will say, just to point it out, it's our second kickoff of KCS, because the first one we did look at it. We were like, maybe we're going to put a pause on this. We're going to try it a little bit. We're going to do some skill building in between and we'll go from there. So when you talk about it could be something that we roll back on, that one was definitely, hey, we're going to do this kickoff. We're going to learn. And then we kind of fell flat a little bit, and now we're bringing it back. So that's good.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to big change and addressing people's fear through the change or something, it's really important to kind of, I always look at it, breaking it down in steps. You know, the best way to address is just to get started. And you might realize that it's not as big or as scary as you thought it was when you do get started. Keep the ball rolling. And once you do see that it may be not as big or as scary or as daunting as you thought it was, go big or go home, like commit.
Yes, yeah.
Because if you, like, there's this thing in change where, like, if you're half in, half out, most likely it's not going to work. Because you're not decided, you're being very, very cautious. And if you don't fully commit, it doesn't work most of the time. And I think understanding the risks of not doing that and understanding the risks of leaning all in too early or something like that is important. Doing some sort of risk evaluation through these changes is a good step.
Mm. And finally, that was just a super important thing, the risk of not doing it. I think that's a message we should all be taking to our teams one way or another in all of the guardrails we just talked about the level of transparency, the value add to this conversation. But, you know, the risk of not doing it is an important part of those conversations.
Yeah. If we're trying to hit a goal or we're trying to reach something and nothing changes, is it going to happen? Is it going to work? You know, what happens if we don't change this? What happens in a year from now? What does that future look like? Sometimes a good exercise to go through with a team or even just by yourself and look, you know, what happens if we do it? What happens if we don't do it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Neil. This has been a fascinating conversation. I hope you'll come back and have another conversation with me another time, will you?
Yeah, of course. Super excited for that. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much too. Thank you so much. That's it for today. Go to customersupportleaders.com/259 for the show notes, and I'll see you next time.